Welcome to another episode of Off Script. I'm your host, Will May. This is my co-host,
Ashley. And today we are going to be doing a Q&A with each other on some questions that we are curious about since opening our brokerage.
Yeah.
We're now, what, 45 days in?
Yep, 45 days in.
To opening the brokerage. And I think, you know, you always have clear expectations of what you think is going to happen when you do something, and then there's reality. So it's been really, really busy. And today we're going to take a little bit of time to kind of reflect on some things since opening the brokerage and what's been going on.
Yeah, we had about 30 days with no office. Mm-hmm. That's how we started this whole thing. And now we've been in, this is our first filming of our podcast in the new space. We'll have a different setup as we go, but now we've been in here, 2 weeks?
Yep, 2 weeks, and we may get interrupted by a printer getting installed, so it's happening. We should be all settled in here in a couple more weeks.
I know, I'm excited about this episode, though, because we both came up with 5 questions that we were genuinely curious about, and what you were thinking in your thought process, and same thing for you to me.
Yep.
So we shall see how this goes.
I'm going to fire at you first.
Really? It wasn't the plan.
Oh, there was a plan. Okay. So this is definitely unscripted. We haven't practiced any of this. So
yeah.
Will hasn't seen all of these questions yet.
Yep.
And I'm going to start with my first one to him.
Okay.
All right, Will. When you think about building a culture, what have you seen actually work versus just sounding good?
Yeah. I feel like every brokerage, and I mean, this is even in business, everybody says they have a good culture, but really the culture embodies the leadership of who's there. Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel like having really strong standards is how we've built our culture. Mm-hmm. When I was a new to leadership, I feel like I was trying to impress everybody and do what everybody else wanted to do. And what I learned through failure is that setting a clear vision and standard for what I represent, for what we represent now, as I was becoming a better leader over the past 4 or 5 years. Once we knew what we would stand for and what our standards were and what could be our standards, mm-hmm. I think that kind of defined our culture. So when we have people come in and we talk about our culture, accountability is a big part of that. We have our standards, our core values, but accountability is something that we lean on. Mm-hmm. We're going to have accountability. We're going to have a ton of fun. We're going to get to know who you are as a person, but accountability and our goals and where we're heading comes first. Mm-hmm. And then we can have all the fun and everything else on top of that. So if you're as a leader now, we know our people so well, we know what they're working towards, their growth path, what they're doing on the weekends, mm-hmm. what kind of, who they're hanging out with, what their family consists of. And I think you really got to know your people and where you're heading in order to have the rapport to hold them accountable and to build the culture the way that we have.
Sure.
So for me, I think that's super important to follow your standards, not just try to impress everybody.
Yeah. And then, you're not for everybody, and that's okay.
Yeah. we say that often, right?
We do say that often.
And I think holding to that and as helped us grow so much momentum. Mm-hmm.
100%.
We know exactly who we're wanting to surround ourselves with. So, great question. All right, so now that you read mine, what's something that you've learned about yourself as a business owner in the past 45 days, now that we're, open? You've obviously been a business owner so much longer than that, but what's changed in this last 45 days? What have you learned?
I think that probably that I can lead even when I don't feel fully ready. So I'm very type A. We know that about me. We've said that a lot on here. And so typically my leadership has been very much I try and learn it first, know everything myself, and then, share that with others as I lead through things. And with this brokerage move, we're in uncharted territory, something I've never done before, something you've never done before with opening a brokerage. And I think what I've realized is I don't have to have all of the answers to everything, and I can lead even through the unknown. And we've been having to make quick decisions about things that have came our way, things that have came up that are unexpected. And I and we together have been able to do that. And I think what I've learned as a reflection is people don't need to have all the answers. Sure. The people that are following your leadership, they just need to know that you have a plan, there's some consistency, and you do what you say.
Yep.
And so I think that's something that I've learned about myself is that I don't have to have it all together and know everything, and I can still lead through that.
Yeah, I think what a great point. I think agents value honesty and transparency way more than perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such an important piece of running a business. You're going to have your key things that need to be done well, mm-hmm. right? But when you're growing and in a growth phase, to have people that understand that is awesome. And to see you grow in that way has been really, really cool because I see you like fight that and I can see anxiety like well up in you, like, oh, we're doing this and this isn't perfect, and or you find out something's not perfect. That's probably a pretty hard
that
moment for you.
Theme song anxiety would be like my song.
Anytime we find out something's not perfect. There it is with the voice again. No, I think that's been cool. I think you've done a great job there.
Thank you.
How do you approach those moments when you figure out like, hey, something isn't perfect. I hate this. I spiral. Like, how do you handle that mental spiral if that happens?
I think now it's just kind of being more mindful and pausing and slowing down before making a decision and not being reactive and just trying to make a quick decision to move on to the next thing, but really just pausing and then also being okay with saying, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. We're going to get through this together, but like, here's what the plan should look like, and like having a clear vision of where we're going and being okay with not having the details of everything.
Yeah.
So I think it's just mindfulness now of being self-aware of it first off, so you don't just get caught into the decision making and make bad decisions.
Love it. Love it.
Okay. My next one for you is, here we go again. Every time I go to pull it for you. Okay. Will, what is one thing about running a brokerage that you thought that you would love, but you actually don't?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's that I thought I would love it, because I've been in like running the brokerage side of things, mm-hmm. just being on my computer.
Okay.
I really don't like that part. Mm-hmm. I would like, jokingly have talked about like my phone and my attitude, right? Like, I really love the people that we work with. I love helping them grow and develop. And we have a really tremendous staff and great leadership team and operations team. So they're great at what they do. Marketing, systems, how you think systems, how you Brandy thinks, how Asia thinks, staging and listing management. I don't love doing those things and slowing down to build the processes and systems, which is why we have so many really great people around us, because they love doing that part of it and they're really, really good at it. So for me, it's like doing all the meetings and slowing down, being on my computer, that part I don't love so much. Mm-hmm. I really love like talking to our people one-on-one and helping coach and train them.
Yeah, I mean, we have been here for 2 weeks and I think all you have on your desk is a computer that you have turned on maybe once. No papers or files or anything. It's just, you don't need anything to do your job. You just walk around and talk to people all day.
Well, then Brandy yells at me and says I have to go look at my computer, and then I have to go look at it.
So. Check your emails.
So when I get like 80 or 90 emails, I'm like, I better catch up on this real quick. So,
But
thankfully, our team knows just call or text, because I'm going to probably get back to you pretty quickly.
Yep, exactly.
Love it. Okay. Where do you feel like we're crushing it, and where do you feel like we're just winging it?
Mm.
Honest convo here.
Okay. I feel like we're crushing it in culture and collaboration. I've always said we have a great culture, and I feel like coming over here has reinvigorated that again, just being in like a new, fresh space in our own space and bring to kind of pull our team out of somewhere else and transplant it here, but then start our own thing.
Yeah.
And then we've already, you know, brought on a few great agents into our sphere and a few more that are coming on that have kind of prematurely been in our environment. And I just feel like the energy is different. The agent's headspace is really, really positive. They're in a good place. Everyone's excited about being in a new spot. So I feel like we still have like that culture and collaboration. I feel like we're crushing it there.
Yeah.
I think where there's areas for improvement, honest conversation would probably be, we're working on just like onboarding and systems and getting them all to work together now with our new model, because we had everything built for a core model and shared services, and not everything translates perfectly to the independent model. And so we have all of the tools and resources and systems. Now it's just getting them to talk to each other and building those out specifically for that model and getting it in one spot.
Yep.
So I feel like it's a continuous work in progress. I'm so glad we have Brandy here to like help me get that up and going with the onboarding things. And we're not quite there yet, but we knew that it was going to be a little bit bumpy when we first started. And I'm just grateful that the couple of independent agents that have already joined, we set that expectation with them coming into it, and they've been completely fine. They knew they were going to kind of be our guinea pigs and like, you know, touch base at the end of the week. What are we missing? What can we do better? And improve it from there.
Yeah. And we already had conversations with a couple of them that are with us now, like, hey, what could we have done better? Mm-hmm. Know that it's going to be a bumpy ride. If you want to wait a month until we get some more stuff figured out, you can. And they were like, nope, we trust you guys. You'll figure it out. And it goes back to honesty and transparency, right? Yep. Like, hey, we probably struggle in this area and we're going to get better. And I think having that has helped us like build a lot of rapport with our team and our culture.
All right, Will. Number three for you. What is your biggest surprise when it comes to agent behavior versus expectations?
Biggest surprise, I think, in that, just like with working with so many agents this long, is like the lack of urgency sometimes. Like, I feel like a lot of times people have like these really, really big goals, and it's easy to set those big goals, but when time comes to execute on them, mm-hmm. It's hard for me sometimes to like slow down and have empathy enough to understand what somebody may be going through. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like not understanding that lack of urgency as mm-hmm. high performers have. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when I was doing lead generation or as I've coached top agents, like sometimes you really believe that somebody's going to do a really good job and then they're talk a really big game. Like, I want to be a top agent. I want to do this. And then when you see the actions week after week after week, mm-hmm. that lack of urgency, I think that's kind of like very widespread throughout our industry.
Yeah.
So I think that's a bigger one.
That's, I mean, not to go out of order, but that kind of like aligns with the next question I had you as you're talking about like top agents and things like that. So in your opinion, what separates a solid agent from like a scalable one, from like your top performers, ones that can scale?
Yeah. Mindset, okay. Execution, like being able to do what you say. I think a lot of times when you speak something out loud, like I'm going to set 2 appointments, I'm going to talk to 50 people, I'm going to talk to 75 people this week. When you set a goal, your high performers execute on it no matter what, like mm-hmm. as if it's
live or die. Non-negotiable. Right?
Yeah, it's a non-negotiable. I said this, so I'm going to do this. So honoring your word mm-hmm. is one thing. And then when you say the word scalable, like being able to think in systems and become a leader, you can have a really, really great agent and a high performer that's a really, really poor leader mm-hmm. or a poor business owner.
Yeah.
And so having self-awareness and being able to say, I need to surround myself with the right people in order to do this, to scale, or I need to become a better version of myself and a better leader in order to scale this business. Mm-hmm. Team leaders and the great agents are able to do that, either surround themselves with somebody really great or become that leader. Mm-hmm. See that in you all the time where you're hopping into leadership mode versus in sales mode to struggle, I think, at times, obviously, to manage both of those. But there's not very, cut from a different cloth, right? Like, there's not many people that can do that.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
So I think that's like, for me, it's execution and mindset and be able to be self-aware or become a really great mm-hmm. leader.
Yeah, and I think just saying that, like, I'm really excited about some of the people that we get to be working with, because for some people, they want to stay a solo agent forever and just become a really high top producing agent, which is completely fine. But then there's others that want to build teams and systems and grow and scale that, which I'm really excited for, because we haven't been able to really like lead that yet together.
Yeah.
Because you helped me do that with our own team. Yep. And now we get the opportunity to be able to do that for somebody else.
Yeah. And to be, we've done a lot of that in the past year, and we've failed in certain areas mm-hmm. and we've tried things that didn't work. We tried things that did work and are in mm-hmm. progress of working now. So yeah. Being comfortable with that, I think a lot of people will get caught up in like, this didn't work, that failed, I'm a failure, mm-hmm. and take all that personally, instead of realizing like, hey, we're all going to make mistakes along the way. And I think we shrug off mistakes so well. Like, something doesn't work, we just keep moving.
Yeah, you kind of have to be like a goldfish, I feel like. And, mm-hmm. and like, if you're a high performer, you just do. Like, you got, for 10 seconds is their attention span, I think is what they say, and then they forget things. You kind of have to be that, like, with rejection and failure and all that, like, be a goldfish. Forget what happened and just move on.
Yep.
Try something new.
And then have, like, an incredible amount of confidence in who you are and what you bring to the table. And I think, again, our top agents here, the people I've been around, like, mm-hmm. they know exactly their value, what they bring to the table as a person as well as an agent, mm-hmm. and they're able to verbalize that to people.
Yeah. Cool.
All righty. I like that one. This is a good one for you.
Okay.
Your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. How has leading a brokerage together changed how you see me as a partner and leader?
So for me, I think it's made me appreciate you more and how you lead with, I would say, probably like steadiness and calmness. It's made me appreciate you a lot, because I feel like when things get really, really tense or high pressure or financially, like whatever that is, I feel like you bring a very calm demeanor. And so I'm getting to see like the emotional intelligence side of you, where you really, really pick up on how others are feeling and acting, and you're a very observant person. And I feel like that helps you make really, really good decisions in times of stress or tense moments.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's made me appreciate you more, and then also just have more confidence in continuing to lead with you and like build where we're going because of how you lead.
Cool. I'd ask you on camera so you said something nice. it's funny because I think our dynamic works really well, because I view you as like a good word, trailblazer. Like, you're blazing the trail and leading us while being in the business and actively selling still. Like, you're doing the front of the pack work, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're guiding us into this area we've never been before.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's really important to watch what's happening and watch what's happening with you. Look at the cues that are happening in terms of like your emotions, and are you irritable, and what's going on with you? Because that's going to affect the rest of what we're doing, right?
So yeah, 100%.
Cool.
It's a balance.
Yep. Well, I answered two of yours, so you only got one left.
Oh, okay. All right. So my last one for you is, if you could give every agent listening to this podcast one challenge to try this week, what would it be?
I would have, this is like a true me statement, I would have every single person talk to 100 people in 1 week. Have 100 conversations. If that could be a challenge of mine, like urgency, like want this more than your leaders or your coaches or your team leaders want it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to 100 people in 1 week. And then tell me that you can't do this on an average amount of sales conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I watch our agents, other agents, people that I've coached do between 20 and 40 conversations. And for some people, it really works. Like, you'll hit your goals at that number. And some people in the beginning phases of their career, or just, you know, wherever they may be with their pipeline, need to do more. Right? Like, you have to get, it's way harder to get the train moving than it is to keep it moving.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it takes a tremendous amount of effort to get that going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally possible. If you were to go for 1 week and get a sales job that's hourly,
mm-hmm.
you would have to call a lot of people. You'd have to actually do sales 8 hours a day or 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
And follow up. So for me, it's like, test yourself to the highest limit. Go talk to 100 people and then set a new standard for yourself when it comes to lead generation.
And then 30 seems easy.
30 is so easy. So easy. I did 100 in a day, and then all of a sudden 30 was easy to do in a day.
Yeah.
And then doing that every day, like,
yep.
all of a sudden everything changed after that.
Yeah. And my goal used to be, I think when I first started and you first started coaching me, it was 50 a week, which I really struggled with. So I think I kind of paced closer to like 30 to 40, but now I'm 25 a week, which just seems so manageable and easy because my conversion rate is increased. So
crazy.
To talk to 5 people a day is pretty easy for me
now.
You
set an appointment like every 8 or 9 combos, which is absolutely nuts, which is awesome. That's taken such a tremendous amount of skill sets too. Okay, last question, and then we'll kind of move on. So I got to pick one of these two. Sorry.
Okay.
What do you hope our agents would say about us if we weren't in the room?
Ooh, okay. I would hope that they would say that we're real and that we actually care about them and not just making money and only growing the brand, but that we actually care about them and their happiness and success. I feel like, we genuinely pour a lot of our time and energy into resources, training, and mentoring our people. And so I would hope in turn that if we weren't in the room with them, that they would, state that, and that we're hopefully good leaders for them, and that we really do have their best interests, and that every decision we make is really in the best interest of all of the people surrounding us, because none of this would be here if it wasn't for, our agents and our staff and employees and all of that. We wouldn't be able to do what we do every day without them. And so I think every decision we make, we always keep in mind of like, how is this not impacting just the business, but how is this impacting the people?
Yeah.
Most importantly.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps the momentum moving forward. And I think that they trust us. I think that they would say that they actually trust us because they've followed us through uncharted territory, again, if you will, and them knowing that we've never done this before and that every single person on our team came with us, I think really spoke a lot. And we were even worried when we first approached everyone, is everyone going to come with? And so sometimes you don't really know how people view your leadership until there's moments like that, and that everybody was so bought in and like, yes, we're 100% coming, like that spoke volume to me.
Yeah, and then and for them to like go out of their way to help in certain moments mm-hmm. too, I feel like that's been super important. So yeah. What a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that wraps up our questions.
It does.
I feel like I genuinely learned a lot. So
me too.
I'm glad we did this way. Okay, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping Lance will go to the OKC game with me in the next couple of weeks here. And then we'll be hopefully having more a better setup every single week. So
yes.
Anything else you want to say?
No, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks, and we'll get back onto a weekly schedule once we get all settled here. But we're on a 2-week track now.
All right. We're out.
All right.
Finger guns.